Escuelas Oficiales de Idiomas de Andalucía. Comprensión oral. Inglés. Nivel intermedio B2. Tarea 1. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Tip 0, example.
Teachers may be trying to lead distance learning with their students for short periods of time during the day. But let's face it, it's going to be more important than ever to build a relationship between teachers and parents to support your children, our students, in their learning journey. I want to start by talking about the most valuable action you can take to support your child's development. And it's by doing what you're most likely already doing, modeling how to face crisis and adversity in our world today with courage and compassion. And don't forget modeling the importance of taking care of yourself as well. We teachers recognize that the stress of home and economic conditions might mean that doing those most important actions are all that you can do. And that's okay. We're all just trying to do our best in this uncertain time.
Tip number 1.
Encourage your children to stay on some kind of school schedule. I'm not just talking about getting them to log on to a class they might have to attend virtually. Much work during this crisis will be independent, and having a set time each day that children dedicate to doing their work can provide a much needed routine.
Tip number 2.
If you can work with your kids to identify one set place in your home where they can sit and do their schoolwork, that would be great. The physical school provides safety and structure, and the more you can do the same at home, the better it'll be for everybody.
Tip number 3.
Research has found that one of the most important actions you can take is just asking your children about what they did and what they learned each day while doing their academic work. I, like all parents, I've often received a response of nothing. However, pushing a little more can often get a positive result. Try asking, what are the 3 most important things that you learned today? Or What is one thing that you learned in science today? If you have time, ask your children to show and explain the work they did for class.
Tip number 4.
Reading with your children is another important way to support their academic growth. It's ideal if it's a book, but just reading a newspaper article together, whether it's on paper or online, can serve a similar purpose. And it doesn't have to be in English. Countless studies have shown that reading together in a family's home language helps students develop literacy skills that they can apply when learning English.
Tip number 5.
Research has found that telling family stories to your children enhances the student's sense of identity and self-esteem. Every family has stories to tell of present and past adventure, resilience, and perseverance. Share these stories with your children, and perhaps even suggest they document these family memories in a journal, which could turn it into a family keepsake.
Tip number 6.
Speaking of writing, this could also be a good time for your children to start a diary where they share what they are seeing, experiencing, and feeling during this historic time. You can even write together to help everyone process what they are going through. Again, this writing does not have to be done only in English to benefit your child. We teachers want to support students expanding their home language skills. The list of actions you can take to help your children learn is endless.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Tip 0, example.
Teachers may be trying to lead distance learning with their students for short periods of time during the day. But let's face it, it's going to be more important than ever to build a relationship between teachers and parents to support your children, our students, in their learning journey. I want to start by talking about the most valuable action you can take to support your child's development. And it's by doing what you're most likely already doing, modeling how to face crisis and adversity in our world today with courage and compassion. And don't forget modeling the importance of taking care of yourself as well. We teachers recognize that the stress of home and economic conditions might mean that doing those most important actions are all that you can do. And that's okay. We're all just trying to do our best in this uncertain time.
Tip number 1.
Encourage your children to stay on some kind of school schedule. I'm not just talking about getting them to log on to a class they might have to attend virtually. Much work during this crisis will be independent, and having a set time each day that children dedicate to doing their work can provide a much needed routine.
Tip number 2.
If you can work with your kids to identify one set place in your home where they can sit and do their schoolwork, that would be great. The physical school provides safety and structure, and the more you can do the same at home, the better it'll be for everybody.
Tip number 3.
Research has found that one of the most important actions you can take is just asking your children about what they did and what they learned each day while doing their academic work. I, like all parents, have often received a response of nothing. However, pushing a little more can often get a positive result. Try asking, what are the 3 most important things that you learned today? Or what is one thing that you learned in science today? If you have time, ask your children to show and explain the work they did for class.
Tip number 4.
Reading with your children is another important way to support their academic growth. It's ideal if it's a book, but just reading a newspaper article together, whether it's on paper or online, can serve a similar purpose. And it doesn't have to be in English. Countless studies have shown that reading together in a family's home language helps students develop literacy skills that they can apply when learning English.
Tip number 5.
Research has found that telling family stories to your children enhances the student's sense of identity and self-esteem. Every family has stories to tell of present and past adventure, resilience, and perseverance. Share these stories with your children, and perhaps even suggest they document these family memories in a journal, which could turn into a family keepsake.
Tip number 6.
Speaking of writing, this could also be a good time for your children to start a diary where they share what they are seeing, experiencing, and feeling during this historic time. You can even write together to help everyone process what they are going through. Again, this writing does not have to be done only in English to benefit your child. We teachers want to support students expanding their home language skills. The list of actions you can take to help your children learn is endless.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 1. Tarea 2. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Extract 1.
Canada has learned to make the most of its long winter months, and it's not uncommon for children there to learn to ice skate before they even start school. Recently, the city of Edmonton toyed with the idea of building an artificial ice trail for commuters to skate to work. Huntsville has a firelit skating route winding through the trees of one of its picturesque parks, while Ottawa's Skateway is the largest naturally frozen ice rink in the world.
Extract 2.
Among the skaters is 50-year-old lawyer Seetal Sangha. She's out here most days when the skateway, which is free to use, is open, even in bone-chilling, body-numbing temperatures as low as minus 35. I have an Arctic pilot's coat, layers on my legs, my sheepskin mitts, and my moosiny hat made out of moose hide and beaver fur, she reveals. The beauty, the exercise, the recreation, she grins, it's a spiritual experience. You just get into a zone. Everyone is happy. It's how she keeps fit in winter. It's how she commuted to university when she was a law student. As we glide past the small bridge over Patterson Creek, Seetal points out the spot where she accepted her husband's marriage proposal. As it is for so many Ottawans in winter, this is her happy place.
Extract 3.
I'm on my last lap. 20 kilometers so far, says a man in his 70s, his gray moustache covered in frost. He tells me he's a retired printer and hoists up his trouser leg to reveal a unique form of insulation, pajamas. Once addicted to smoking, he says he's now addicted to the canal, and it's not beaver tails which provide his energy boost. I bring this World War II RAF flask with lots of whiskey, he says, grinning.
Extract 4.
Life without the skateway seems unimaginable for Ottawans, but a growing body of evidence suggests it may not always be there. The outdoor skating season is shrinking. One researcher concluded that the Rideau Skateway itself had lost 5 skating days per decade since it first opened nearly 50 years ago. While it's having a great run this year with over 50 days of skating heaven, last year it closed after just 35. 4 years ago, that number was down to a disappointing 18. The skateway used to be open well into March. Now it often closes in February. Those long, cold days needed to sustain the ice are simply becoming less reliable as global warming bites. Skaters here don't need studies to tell them what is happening beneath their very feet. I have noticed it. It's here. It's now, laments Seetal. I understand climate change leads to these great fluctuations. It makes me very sad and very anxious.
Extract 5.
Even in other parts of Canada, warming seas, melting ice, and crumbling permafrost might seem more urgent matters than a slushy skateway. But what happens in Ottawa matters. It's the seat of the Canadian government. At the start of the skateway, the Parliament buildings and French Gothic-style Chateau Laurier form a stunning backdrop. A Rideau Skateway official strikes a surprising note of optimism about its future sustainability, despite the gloom. Ottawa wouldn't go without the skate track, he says matter-of-factly, though admitting more research is needed to manage what he described as complications. A government study is assessing the possible impact of climate change on the Rideau Skateway, and it's due out next year. His eyes light up at the idea of more research, perhaps into the potential of refrigerating the canal using solar panels.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Extract 1.
Canada has learned to make the most of its long winter months, and it's not uncommon for children there to learn to ice skate before they even start school. Recently, the city of Edmonton toyed with the idea of building an artificial ice trail for commuters to skate to work. Huntsville has a firelit skating route winding through the trees of one of its picturesque parks, while Ottawa's Skateway is the largest naturally frozen ice rink in the world.
Extract 2.
Among the skaters is 50-year-old lawyer Seetal Sangha. She's out here most days when the skateway, which is free to use, is open, even in bone-chilling, body-numbing temperatures as low as minus 35. I have an Arctic pilot's coat, layers on my legs, my sheepskin mitts, and my moosiny hat made out of moose hide and beaver fur, she reveals. The beauty, the exercise, the recreation, she grins, it's a spiritual experience. You just get into a zone. Everyone is happy. It's how she keeps fit in winter. It's how she commuted to university when she was a law student. As we glide past the small bridge over Patterson Creek, Seetal points out the spot where she accepted her husband's marriage proposal. As it is for so many Ottawans in winter, this is her happy place.
Extract 3.
I'm on my last lap. 20 kilometers so far, says a man in his 70s, his gray moustache covered in frost. He tells me he's a retired printer and hoists up his trouser leg to reveal a unique form of insulation, pajamas. Once addicted to smoking, he says he's now addicted to the canal, and it's not beaver tails which provide his energy boost. I bring this World War II RAF flask with lots of whiskey, he says, grinning.
Extract 4.
Life without the skateway seems unimaginable for Ottawans, but a growing body of evidence suggests it may not always be there. The outdoor skating season is shrinking. One researcher concluded that the Rideau Skateway itself had lost 5 skating days per decade since it first opened nearly 50 years ago. While it's having a great run this year with over 50 days of skating heaven, last year it closed after just 35. 4 years ago, that number was down to a disappointing 18. The skateway used to be open well into March. Now it often closes in February. Those long, cold days needed to sustain the ice are simply becoming less reliable as global warming bites. Skaters here don't need studies to tell them what is happening beneath their very feet. I have noticed it. It's here. It's now, laments Seetal. I understand climate change leads to these great fluctuations. It makes me very sad and very anxious.
Extract 5.
Even in other parts of Canada, warming seas, melting ice, and crumbling permafrost might seem more urgent matters than a slushy skateway. But what happens in Ottawa matters. It's the seat of the Canadian government. At the start of the skateway, the Parliament buildings and French Gothic-style Chateau Laurier form a stunning backdrop. A Rideau Skateway official strikes a surprising note of optimism about its future sustainability, despite the gloom. Ottawa wouldn't go without the skate track, he says matter-of-factly, though admitting more research is needed to manage what he described as complications. A government study is assessing the possible impact of climate change on the Rideau Skateway, and it's due out next year. His eyes light up at the idea of more research, perhaps into the potential of refrigerating the canal using solar panels.
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 2. Tarea 3. Dispone de 2 minutos para leer las instrucciones y el contenido de la tarea.
Augusta Ada King, Countess of Lovelace, was born in London, England, on the 10th of December 1815. She was the daughter of the poet Lord Byron and his wife Anne Isabella, the Lady Byron. Lord Byron was hoping that he would be blessed with a son, as until now he had no legitimate children, but he was left with no male heir following Ada's birth, as the couple were in the process of separating, and only a month later Ada saw her father for the last time when Lady Byron left the family home to live with her parents at Kirkby Mallory, taking Ada with her. Ada never had a relationship with her father, as he died when she was 8, and unfortunately she also did not have a close relationship with her mother, being left in the care of Lady Milbank, Lady Byron's mother. Ada was often ill as a child, suffering from debilitating headaches, and was even paralysed in 1829 after contracting measles, following which she was confined to bed for almost a year. Despite her illnesses, she developed an interest in mathematics and technology, and when she was 12 she declared that she wanted to fly. Instead of this being just the fanciful notion of a child, Ada actually set about methodically constructing apparatus that would help her to do so, starting with wings in February 1828. In order to ensure that the wings would be the correct size and weight, she studied the anatomy of birds and researched a number of different materials from which she might construct them. During the process, Ada also wrote a book which she called Flyology, within which she illustrated some of her findings. In 1833, Ada had an affair with one of her tutors. She tried to elope with him, but relatives of the tutor recognised Ada and informed her mother of the couple's whereabouts. Lady Byron, with the help of her friends, covered up the affair due to the scandal that it would cause. In the same year, Ada became friends with another of her tutors, Mary Somerville, who introduced her to Charles Babbage. She also became acquainted with other influential people at the time, including Michael Faraday and Charles Dickens, and at the age of only 17 she was presented at court, and by 1834 she was a court regular. A year later, on the 8th of July, Ada married William, 8th Baron King, thereby becoming Lady King. The couple spent their time at 3 different homes, one in Surrey, one in London, and also at a Scottish estate on Loch Torrendon. The couple also had a summer retreat at Worthy Manor in Somerset, which had been the setting for their honeymoon. The couple went on to have three children together, Byron in 1836, Anne Isabella in 1837, and Ralph Gordon in 1839. In 1840, one of Ada's acquaintances, Charles Babbage, attended a seminar at the University of Turin, where he talked about his analytical engine. The lecture was translated into French and published in 1842. Subsequently, a friend of Babbage's, Charles Wheatstone, commissioned Ada Lovelace to translate the lecture into English. She did so, but also added her own notes to the text, assisted by Babbage himself. These notes, which were much more detailed than the original transcript of the lecture, were published in 1843 under the initialism AAL in Taylor's Scientific Memoirs, and consider the fact that the analytical engine was far more than a simple calculating machine, and that it could be programmed to solve many types of complex problems. For example, Ada's note G, her notes were all labelled A to G, describes an algorithm that would be used by the analytical engine to calculate Bernoulli numbers, and is considered to be the first ever algorithm published specifically intended for use on a computer. For this reason, Ada Lovelace has often been described as the world's first computer programmer. Unfortunately, the analytical engine was never built, and so the program was never tested. Controversy over the subject of Ada's contribution to the analytical engine and its potential programming has raged ever since, with some historians doubting that Ada made much of a contribution at all, other than to publish what had already been written by Babbage. Although the question must be asked why Babbage would allow publication under the initials AAL if it was essentially his work that was being published. In the middle of 1852, Ada became seriously ill, and on the 27th of November the same year, following...
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Escuche de nuevo la grabación.
Augusta Ada King, Countess of Lovelace, was born in London, England, on the 10th of December 1815. She was the daughter of the poet Lord Byron and his wife Anne Isabella, the Lady Byron. Lord Byron was hoping that he would be blessed with a son, as until now he had no legitimate children, but he was left with no male heir following Ada's birth, as the couple were in the process of separating, and only a month later Ada saw her father for the last time when Lady Byron left the family home to live with her parents at Kirkby Mallory, taking Ada with her. Ada never had a relationship with her father, as he died when she was 8, and unfortunately she also did not have a close relationship with her mother, being left in the care of Lady Milbank, Lady Byron's mother. Ada was often ill as a child, suffering from debilitating headaches, and was even paralysed in 1829 after contracting measles, following which she was confined to bed for almost a year. Despite her illnesses, she developed an interest in mathematics and technology, and when she was 12 she declared that she wanted to fly. Instead of this being just the fanciful notion of a child, Ada actually set about methodically constructing apparatus that would help her to do so, starting with wings in February 1828. In order to ensure that the wings would be the correct size and weight, she studied the anatomy of birds and researched a number of different materials from which she might construct them. During the process, Ada also wrote a book which she called Flyology, within which she illustrated some of her findings. In 1833, Ada had an affair with one of her tutors. She tried to elope with him, but relatives of the tutor recognised Ada and informed her mother of the couple's whereabouts. Lady Byron, with the help of her friends, covered up the affair due to the scandal that it would cause. In the same year, Ada became friends with another of her tutors, Mary Somerville, who introduced her to Charles Babbage. She also became acquainted with other influential people at the time, including Michael Faraday and Charles Dickens, and at the age of only 17 she was presented at court, and by 1834 she was a court regular. A year later, on the 8th of July, Ada married William, 8th Baron King, thereby becoming Lady King. The couple spent their time at three different homes, one in Surrey, one in London, and also at a Scottish estate on Loch Torrendon. The couple also had a summer retreat at Worthy Manor in Somerset, which had been the setting for their honeymoon. The couple went on to have three children together, Byron in 1836, Anne Isabella in 1837, and Ralph Gordon in 1839. In 1840, one of Ada's acquaintances, Charles Babbage, attended a seminar at the University of Turin, where he talked about his analytical engine. The lecture was translated into French and published in 1842. Subsequently, a friend of Babbage's, Charles Wheatstone, commissioned Ada Lovelace to translate the lecture into English. She did so, but also added her own notes to the text, assisted by Babbage himself. These notes, which were much more detailed than the original transcript of the lecture, were published in 1843 under the initialism AAL in Taylor's Scientific Memoirs, and consider the fact that the analytical engine was far more than a simple calculating machine, and that it could be programmed to solve many types of complex problems. For example, Ada's Note G, her notes were all labelled A to G, describes an algorithm that would be used by the analytical engine to calculate Bernoulli numbers, and is considered to be the first ever algorithm published specifically intended for use on a computer. For this reason, Ada Lovelace has often been described as the world's first computer programmer. Unfortunately, the analytical engine was never built, and so the program was never tested. Controversy over the subject of Ada's contribution to the analytical engine and its potential programming has raged ever since, with some historians doubting that Ada made much of a contribution at all, other than to publish what had already been written by Babbage. Although the question must be asked why Babbage would allow publication under the initials AAL if it was essentially his work that was being published. In the middle of 1852, Ada became seriously ill, and on the 27th of November the same year, following...
Dispone ahora de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 3. Aquí acaba la prueba de comprensión oral. Por favor, siga las instrucciones del profesorado en su aula.